You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Yo, remember yeah. Back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like...
Hello, hello. I am Brooke, and you are listening to the first ever episode of the Naked Beauty Podcast. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I finally just had to push myself off that ledge and say, do it. It's never going to be perfect. I could probably refine this until summer 2017 and make it as close to perfect as I could get it, but actually perfect doesn't exist, so I just had to come to terms with the fact that you just got to put it out there. There are three things that I really want to do with this podcast. One, I want to have honest discussion about beauty without any of the usual bullshit. So I want to know what tips and tricks women actually use. I want to know what beauty routines women actually have. I don't want the by-the-book magazine, you know, the six things that you need to do before going to bed every night. I want to have real talk about beauty without any of the usual BS. The second thing I want to do is have information sharing without any commercial attachment and no upsell. I think that one of the things that really pushed me to create this podcast is everywhere I go and see beauty content, whether it's a blog, whether it's on YouTube, a magazine, they're always trying to sell me the latest and greatest, you know, goop in a jar, and I don't know how to differentiate what's actually worth buying, what's actually worth spending time on, and what they're, you know, using for clickbait. So I want to have discussion about beauty without any commercial attachment. I think that's really important. And then the last thing I hope to do with this podcast is I hope to inspire people listening. I'm so inspired by Caroline, my guest in my first episode. I've known her for years. She's so funny. She's so smart. But she has totally revolutionized the way that she approaches her own beauty routine and the way that she thinks about products. And I learned so much from her. So I hope you enjoy the episode as much as I enjoy talking to her. And stick around. I'm going to have a new episode every other week. I'm not at every week yet. I'll get there. But every other week, I'm going to have a new episode for you guys. So thank you for listening. This is the Naked Beauty Podcast. Now you think you really going for 10? Like you wasn't down and you called them again. We're live.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I can edit this part.
I was imitating a movie.
So we've known each other for 14 years.
I can't believe it.
It's kind of insane.
It's pretty insane.
I won't detail on this recording how you hazed me and how you were so mean to me. story for another time. But I wanted to have you on because I think that your approach to beauty, not just in your personal approach to beauty, but in terms of your career, is really fascinating.
Okay.
And you, I'm just going to put it out there, you went to Harvard, right? And now you're a beauty editor. And I think
true.
That there is a perception that it's, you know, dumb girls writing about lipstick.
Absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about why you chose beauty to go into. Like, what's that path from, like, Harvard to being a beauty editor?
Okay. Well, I always say, like, I always wanted to write comedy, and I discovered Into the Gloss when I was, like, I guess a senior in college, and I was just, like, my everything.
Yeah. Like, when it came out, it was, like, the best thing ever.
It was the best thing ever, and I was just, like, totally obsessed with everyone's top shelves, and I was, like, this is amazing. I can't stop reading about it, and I can't stop, like, buying every single product that's mentioned on Into the Gloss, and, like, wasting all my money, and I wouldn't necessarily, like, ever use the products. I would just kind of, like...
Display them
yeah. and have them collect dust. But I think, for me, it was just that there was this, like, intimacy about, like, reading about people's
mm-hmm.
beauty routines that it wasn't just, like... Get this blush because it's going to make your skin, like, glow. And
right.
it's got amino acids, blah, blah. It was just, like, this insider perspective.
Right. Yeah, like, seeing the inside of your beauty cabinet, in a way, it's like a window into your soul. It's, like, a very intimate.
Total window. Yeah. yeah. And I remember, like, my aunt has, whenever I, like, went to her place, I would just be like, I have to use the bathroom. Like, can I go pee? And then I would just go upstairs and, like, stare at all of her beauty products and just, like, smear.
Slather, like,
slather
all this, like, la mer.
Random shit on my face. And I was so, like, I just, I don't know. I think it's one thing to, like, write about, like, how a product will, like, make you look younger versus, like, a story behind that product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what initially attracted me to it. And also, like, there was a lot of, like, smart writing on Into the Gloss that
mm-hmm.
I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And working at Lucky, and I was under Jean Godfrey June, who's, like, to me, like, the master of beauty writing. I think she, like, totally nails it. And
mm-hmm.
I always say, like, she can write about, like, a tampon that's, like, for your face.
Yeah.
And it'll be, like, $500 and I'll want to go buy it.
Right, right. Was
and
Eva Chen also at Lucky at this time?
She was also at Lucky.
Okay.
But I think Jean has this gift, like, where she can write about something that's otherwise really shitty and just make you want to buy
yeah.
it. And I realized that it has nothing to do, again, like, with, like, a press release that you get
mm-hmm.
about the product
mm-hmm.
that, like, describes, like, all of the like, unique complexes
mm-hmm.
and, like, ceramides and, like, weird formulations. It has to do with, like, the story and, like, what the story behind that product and, like, something that it does for that person. So I always try and, like, make it personal, and I think to have, like, an anecdote that goes along with the product is more important than describing, like,
mm-hmm.
how it has, like, unique, how it's, like, the most unique formula that's ever been created.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the benefits of your job
yes.
is that, okay, and I should say where you are. So you're at
yeah.
HarpersBazaar.com,
yes.
.com
mm-hmm.
on the digital side,
mm-hmm.
the winning side.
The winning, totally
the,
winning.
The most important side that's, it's kind of, it's actually kind of insane that it's still seen as like this new arena when all of our lives are, I mean, when's the last time you went to a newsstand and bought
totally.
Like a magazine? I mean, when's the last time? At the airport.
I worked at Glamour magazine before, and I, like, never read the magazine, so I don't know. I don't read magazines.
Right.
I can't even, like, recall the last time I saw a human being on a subway, like,
right.
flipping
so
through,
true.
Thumbing through a magazine. And I think, like, when I talk to a lot of people now, the only time they tell me they read magazines is when they're, like, at the nail salon
mm-hmm.
or
at the airport.
At the airport.
Yep.
Or at, like, the hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like that's not the, it kind of, like, if I'm a beauty writer, which I don't want that kind of engagement with my reader. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to have a more, like, I don't want to have that kind of, like, spotty engagement where it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, look at that nail trend. Like,
right.
I don't feel,
right.
like, I can't relate to that. So I think, like, you know, digital is not for everyone. Like, having started here, like, last week, the pacing is insane.
Right.
And, like...
Yeah, we should say that you're a weekend, so...
Yeah, I'm a weekend, and the pacing is insane. And but it's also kind of exhilarating, and it's exciting to see, like... Like, we're doing content testing as well, so it's, like, exciting to see, like, which headlines work better
mm-hmm.
than others.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that in real time versus, like... writing about a story and, like, throwing it into the ether for
mm-hmm.
a magazine, you have no idea, like, whether that's going to perform well.
Right, right.
Until, like, 5 years
mm-hmm.
later when you get, like, a reader subscription.
Right,
like,
right, right, right.
Letter.
Yeah, that immediate feedback
that,
must be really gratifying as a writer.
That's really gratifying.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I like that more.
So one of the perks of your job is that you get a lot of free stuff.
Yes.
You get a lot of beauty products.
Yes.
So my question for you is, at a certain point, does it become just like, this is just like goop in a jar? Like, is it just like...
Great question.
Or do you still get excited?
Great question. I think for me, when I first started working in beauty, the price of a product was like the most like alluring part to me. Like when I... Like a Chanel face cream that was like $300 was like, oh my God, okay, I'm just going to like bring this home and stare at it. But now I think that I've become like smarter about the kinds of ingredients that I put on my face. I care about like, I don't want parabens in my cream. I don't want phthalates. I don't want like unnecessary fragrance in my cream. And so price is no longer a factor. What matters to me is whether this cream will give me cancer and will just prevent me from breaking out. I think like sadly the misconception about a beauty editor is that they're like slathering themselves in like caviar creams and like 24 karat gold, but it's like you figure out what works for you and then it ends up being really boring for a really long time.
So
that's...
I'm really excited that you brought up this idea about the ingredients that are in product because, so I'm really interested in kind of the way women have approached beauty from centuries ago. And even if you read about like women in the 20s and 30s, they were using like witch hazel to clean their face at night. And then it seems like we really got away from that. And now we're like putting all of this chemical laden crap on our faces.
Right.
And you've made me aware of all of the products that I'm using.
Cool.
So talk to me a little bit about how you like figured out that a lot of makeup is toxic and like this app that you use and...
Right. Okay. So I guess, I think it was kind of a slow burning like evolution, but I realized that I had this kind of like aha moment when I was having like a desk side where it's like people come over and they just like pitch beauty products to you. And the makeup artist was like,
wait, I'm sorry, go back.
A desk side is when like cosmetics companies will come with their PR reps and just like pitch a new product to you. Well, not at my desk, like, because that would just be the worst thing ever.
That sounds awful.
Away. But we just go in a different, like...
Is it just you?
It's just me and the PR rep and, like, someone from the cosmetic company, and they're, like, showing me their new product. And this particular company was, like, I think Olema Pure, and they're actually really cool, and I love their cosmetics. But they were telling me, like, about all the crap that was in... I can't remember whatever the cosmetic company was, but there was nothing like particularly enlightening that they said, but I just realized like the whole point of cosmetics and skincare is to like nourish your skin and like make you feel better about yourself. So why the fuck would you put ingredients that are harmful to your skin and your bloodstream and everything? Like, why would you actively do that? And so that was like the most...
Like your aha moment.
That was like my aha moment. And she was like, well, you should download this app, Think Dirty, and it will tell you...
So wait, the app is called Think Dirty?
The app is called Think Dirty.
I'm like downloading it tonight. Okay.
Yeah. And it pretty much changed my life. And there was no like groundbreaking moment when I was like, oh my God. But she told me about this app. And then I went home that day. And I... went through all of the crap that I had just like stockpiled like since Lucky and like all the creams that I had, the expensive like $1,000 creams, honestly, that I had
You should have given them to me. I would have gladly slathered that all over my
body. No, I honestly don't think you would. No.
Because
like
I'm not
a shea butter though.
Yeah, but I'm not like fully woke when
and
it comes
like
to...
You're like a cocoa butter.
So I'm a huge kitchen beautician. Like I will like mix and make all of my own products, but like I think I'm still in that like a Chanel face cream is a special thing to covet.
Yeah.
But I need to wake up from that.
And honestly, what the good thing about that actually is that I think I was talking to someone the other day who was saying that like Chanel skincare and they're like waking up to the toxicity of like fragrance and a lot of things in products. So I think I want to say that, like, maybe in 5 to 10 years' time, they're going to move in a direction that's, mm-hmm. like, more fragrance-free, less toxic.
Right. So here's an interesting thing, why I started making my own products. Because I realized that if you buy, like, an argan oil moisturizer that's, like, $50, it's, like, you can buy that actual argan oil and, like, add it to... and exist, or you can even make your own moisturizer.
Yeah.
So how will they justify the price tag if they're using all natural ingredients? Because people will look at the ingredients and be like...
That's a really good
point. I think it's almost like this trickery that the industry does to, like, say, like, it's a scientific molecular. And so you feel like, oh, I couldn't ever attain this on my own, so I'm willing to, pay $1,000 or whatever.
No, that's so true. The one thing for me that comes to mind is body scrub. I think that's, like, the biggest scam in the world. Like, I have this body scrub that everyone should go out and buy until you run out 3 days later. But it's Shifa body scrub, and it's all natural. And I think it's from Dubai, and it's got, like, rosemary extract. And
But why buy it? Why not just make it at home?
No, exactly. It smells incredible. And I don't think the smell can be recreated at home, but... it genuinely lasted me 3 days, and then I was like, this is ridiculous, and I just went to the grocery store, and I got, like, sugar, olive oil, and some kind of, like, other nourishing olive oil, like avocado oil, mm-hmm. and I just threw it all together, and it was, like, pretty life-changing, because it's lasted me forever, and that, I think, that's a scam. And
it's a huge scam.
There was another body scrub that I was obsessed with, but I was looking in the ingredients and it had, like, blue 50 in it. It's like, who needs blue 50 in their body scrub? Like, that's not, like, I'm not going to be mad at you if your body scrub that you've created isn't blue to, like, mimic the ocean that you're describing here.
Right.
You know, so.
And it's interesting that women who are so aware of what they put in their body,
right?
Like, women that would never eat fast food that... So, like, we have this really holistic approach to, like, what we eat, but then we'll go and put on, like, NARS blush and MAC eyeliner and all this other stuff.
People's top shelves who are, like, super conscious about their, their skincare, and then they're always like, I'm a sucker for NARS lipstick, and I wish I could be, like, as balanced about it.
But I don't think it's balanced.
Okay.
I think... they're like me, where they really don't know better. I don't know.
Really? You don't think so? Okay.
I'm like a freak about all of my skin and hair care products, but I don't know like a sustainable, I don't even know the right words, like a natural lipstick to go and buy. Like I just don't even know those brands. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently, maybe like in the last 2 years, have been educated about like perfumes and fragrances and like what a major scam that whole industry is.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to spend a lot of money for like a nice fragrance, but I've learned about all of the different houses and the noses at the houses that like develop the fragrance versus buying like a Gucci or like a Tom Ford fragrance.
Yeah.
Do you kind of take the same natural approach to fragrances?
Absolutely not, and it's terrible. And
fine because some of these fragrances, like I wear a Diptyque fragrance, like Le Labo. I know you like also. Like they're so beautiful and complex. Like an essential oil is just not the same.
It's not the same. And for me, I'm like so struggling with that because I think that's like the final frontier for me in terms of like
to going full hippie,
like full hippie. But I just can't do it, and I. I have, like, honestly, I have some, like, essential oil thing in my backpack that I dump on my wrists every so often, and it's, like, Himalayan musk that I got from Whole Foods.
Caroline.
It's called Himalayan musk, and I just dab it on my wrists, and
sounds
honestly,
very alluring.
It smells okay, but then people are like, you smell like a yoga teacher, and then I'm like, oh,
I'm sure you do.
I definitely do, but I thought I would smell different.
Okay, so what is your signature scent?
Okay, so I would say my signature scent is definitely Poison Hypnose by Dior.
Okay.
It is the scent that I get stopped, like people will stop me on the street, people will stop me in an elevator.
Is it like one of those really intense, like
it's a very
sophisticated,
intense,
musky?
I don't know if I would call it sophisticated. It's definitely, like, very sexy, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's
even... Do you wear it during the day?
Sometimes wear it during the day.
When you're, like, just feeling it? Like,
when
you're
feeling it,
yourself, like...
Yeah, I would say I probably wear it more in the winter. I don't know if it's,
mm-hmm.
like, a summer day scent,
mm-hmm.
but I wear it in the winter during the day and out at night, and when I wear it out at night, I just, like, pour a bottle on myself and
mm-hmm.
just leave... work.
Sometimes I love that feeling though of just like being drenched in like this really like seductive fragrance.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I think I like doing that because it's almost like a protective cloak, maybe the way that like women feel wearing a lot of makeup is. Like
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like your
mm-hmm.
mask, like your armor, like your I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I have no like I'm pretty 100% sure that the Dior fragrance is terrible for you,
yeah,
and like
I'm sure.
is just so bad.
Don't think about it, it's fine.
I think like the fact that maybe I'm wearing natural skincare
mm-hmm.
and natural cosmetics is offsetting that because I just love fragrance
yeah.
so much that it's hard for me to part
it's
with.
Really
like,
hard, yeah.
It's really hard,
yeah.
and like I wish I could be like one of those magicians who's like staying at home and like
yeah.
mixing like sandalwood.
But it's not. It's really not the same. I mean, I've tried.
Yeah,
I've tried to walk away.
Yeah,
and just do essential oils. But when you find a fragrance that you connect with, it's just.
What was that fragrance that you were obsessed with? The like one that was supposed to make you like feel like be more like sexually aroused.
What?
Yeah, you wore.
I don't
this,
think
like,
that was me.
That was 100% you. You like wore it. 2 years ago, you were like, it's a very famous fragrance. It's supposed to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly the fragrance you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, and it's really interesting what happened with that fragrance
okay,
because
tell
I
me.
Started, like, hating it.
Really?
So has that ever happened with you? Like,
yeah. It's very strong. It was very strong.
But, so like, the thing that attracts you to the fragrance at the beginning
mm-hmm.
is, like, how, like, strong it is, right? Because you're like, oh, this is an exciting scent. But then when you wear it often, you're like, oh, I kind of hate this. It's, like, overwhelming.
Okay.
Like, the scent that I wear now that I'm obsessed with is Tam Dao. I actually smelled it for the first time at my wedding. Emmanuel, one of Umut's groomsmen, was wearing it. And I was like, you smell amazing. And he was like, oh, my wife and I share a fragrance from Diptyque. And I love all the Diptyque candles. So I was like, I have to try this fragrance. And then, what an amazing resource. Do you know LuckyScent.com?
Yeah, of course.
And you read those reviews. I mean, the fact that people can smell something and say it opens on this note, and then it's
yeah.
a powdery finish with some
yeah.
pepper undertones. So I started educating myself about what to look for, and I realized, okay, if you like this fragrance, you'll like that fragrance. And so now I've trained myself to, I never ever would, like, walk into a place and, like, buy a fragrance.
Okay.
I'll always get a sample, and I'll wear that sample for, like,
yeah.
a
Same.
Week or so. Just to understand how I feel, like, you have to really live with the fragrance for a long time to make it your own, I think.
Yeah, and especially for me, I'm a sucker for, like, a fragrance that lasts. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've had too many experiences with fragrances where it smells incredible, and then I literally douse myself in it, and then, like, 2 hours later, it's completely
gone.
Evaporated.
So, you, okay, so people listening to this who don't know you, can't
mm-hmm.
see you, you're very beautiful.
Thank you so much.
And your boyfriend is really beautiful also. You guys are a very kind of good-looking couple.
Thank you so much.
Do you ever talk to him? Okay, one, what are his thoughts on makeup? Because I find a lot of guys are like, I don't like girls that wear makeup. And then they like look at a girl who's wearing, in quotes, no makeup.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's bronzer. That's perfectly blended concealer.
Oh, really?
That's like, I think guys think that they like natural, but they don't really understand
yeah,
what natural is.
What natural is, yeah.
So what... Talk to me about...
I have a couple of exciting things to say, to share with you about that.
Okay,
so
I'm excited.
So actually, I'll start with last night when I was in bed and I was wearing, like, absolutely no makeup and I hadn't even blow-dried my hair and I put a little mousse in it and it was, like, naturally wavy and I looked at myself in the mirror and I don't genuinely think like I look better without makeup, but I asked him,
mm-hmm.
I said, do you think I look better with or without makeup? And he said, without makeup.
Aww.
And it was the nicest thing
so
I'd ever heard because I think when you first start dating somebody,
mm-hmm.
you really are unsure. You put a guard up. You're not sure whether they're going to love the real, like,
how long have you guys been together?
I think almost, let's see, I want to say, like, almost 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
Which feels weird because, yeah, it feels just like yesterday, but.
Can you remember the first time he saw you without makeup? Like, can you remember that first time
of
being like, oh my gosh, I don't have makeup on in front of him?
Yeah, I think, I honestly can't, but I do remember, like, taking a shower and feeling so insecure that he would see me without, like, even eyeliner or mascara, that he, like, opened the door once, and I was like, don't come in! And I, like, shut the door in front of him and made sure that I was, like, wearing my, even at least, like, mascara.
That's
I was
so
very
funny.
Particular about, like, mascara and eyeliner
mm-hmm.
when we first started dating, because
mm-hmm.
I really feel like that can change
mm-hmm.
the shape of your face. And I think once you become more comfortable around someone,
right,
their perception.
Right.
That said, though, like, objectively, I don't know if, like, someone walking down the street would be like, she's hot without makeup. I think it's like
you have to love the person.
You have to love the person.
Well, I actually disagree.
Okay, cool.
Tell me why. That there is something really, really beautiful about when you can see someone's naked skin. You know, like, when you can see someone's freckles and, like, you can...
Yes.
Like, when you can see... When you can look at someone and see that that's their skin and that's their face and they have, like, nothing on, especially if they're well put together.
Yes.
Then they become, like, beautiful in a way that that same exact girl with that perfect outfit with makeup wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's almost like that confidence and what makes them unique comes out more.
Yeah.
But... So I'm going to tell you a story about my brother.
Yeah.
And I think my brother kind of, like, pretends to be misogynistic because I think he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
But, like, I think he also slightly is a little bit misogynistic. But he's 23, so, like,
okay. Take
it with a grain of salt. He was with my parents this past weekend, and there was, like, this story about this woman who woke up an hour before her husband to, like, put on her, you know, makeup and make herself look nice. And
yeah.
she didn't ever let him see her without makeup. She never... I mean, this is more of a black girl thing, but she never let him see her hair wrapped up. Like, she was just always, like, and my brother was like, yes, like, that, like, she's, like, she's not letting herself go. Like, she's keeping it sexy.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
He was, like, applauding that. I'm married, so, like, the jig is up. Like, Umut knows it. Like, it's, like, and so one of the things that I guess I wonder about is, can you ever become too comfortable? Right? Like, is there, what's that fine line between, okay, it's absurd to just walk around with makeup all the time in front of your husband. That seems kind of like a crazy person.
Yeah.
But then if you just totally let yourself go and you're like.
Great question.
You know?
I think for me, I could never let myself go entirely because I'm still, like, looking good for me.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like,
it's like your own vanity that saves
you. It's my own
vanity
that saves me.
Yeah.
Like, I could never just, like, walk out of the apartment, like, with, like, no, like, having not dried my hair, having just, like, completely wet hair, like, looking like I just got out of a pool and, like, ran, like, just swam a lot or something, like, at Asphalt Green, you know? With, like, chlorine in my hair. Like, I look presentable to the world because I care about me more than I care about, like, how my boyfriend perceives me. I won't feel good wearing sweatpants. Like, I will only feel good wearing sweatpants to bed. Ever.
Of course.
Even this is
such a simple thing, and I know I'm going to sound like a grandmother, but when I see girls with, like, really fucked up chipped nail polish, I'm like...
Take
the 2 seconds and just buy some nail polish remover wipes and just,
like,
polish those bad boys off. Like,
polish them off. Like,
no polish is 15,000 times better than chipped polish.
15,000 times. Like, I was telling you about Jean Godfrey June before, who's the beauty director at Lucky. Every time I tried to book her, like, a manicure for the desk sides, like, she was like, please, no manicures. I hate manicures. And I was like, I love manicures. How could you ever hate a manicure?
Mm-hmm.
It's a free manicure.
Mm-hmm.
I now hate manicures because I don't need the chemicals. Like, I don't need them.
I do gel manicures. I'm probably killing myself, right?
Killing, murder.
Really?
It's just, there's, you have to make sure it's like five free or something. Like,
what does that
look
even
up
mean?
Five free. Make sure that your nail polish is five free. There are
like the number five?
Yeah. There are
learning
five,
so much tonight.
Good. There are like five key chemicals that should not exist in your nail polish. So I think there are certain brands that are...
Like, does Essie have...
No, Essie is not... I don't think Essie is five-free. There are a lot of nail polishes, though, that are five-free.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
I can't call out, like, any names right now. I'm blanking. But basically, I will never get a manicure because I'm always going to chip it, and I think that looks far worse than just having...
Like...
Bad.
Bad? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the three beauty trends that... We want to lie to rest.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Pour out a little toner for, like, the dead homies. Like, it's done. Like, we're done. We're sick of it.
Yeah.
I have a few in mind, but why don't you start with your first, like, beauty trend that, like, needs
to
go.
I was thinking about this a lot on the way here, and I think that, for me, like, there's so many beauty trends that need to be extinguished immediately, but I feel like everyone talks about contouring, like contouring needs to go, but I feel like
let's talk about it.
It needs to go, but I mean everyone knows that it needs to go at this point.
Well, I just bought the Pat McGrath skin
you
finish
did?
I'm sure it's really toxic. I spent $72
oh
on
my
it
God,
and I was
you
like
got it? It's amazing though. It's amazing.
It's like gold pigment.
It's gold.
And you highlight your face and you just look in the mirror and you're like, I am looking guilt.
Flawless.
You're like a Klimt painting come to life.
Yeah, that.
I mean, that's contour. Highlighting is contour.
It's highlighting, which I feel like is better than putting like dark paste on your cheekbones.
Yeah, it's
like
bad contour that needs to go.
It's bad contouring that like exaggerates your non-existent cheekbones that needs to go. Like, I would rather see your face for what it is than have you kind of like
this deception.
Yeah. Like, that's why I have such an issue with like wearing too much makeup every day, because then I'm like set such a precedent for myself that I'm like that I can't live up to every single day, and I'm like obviously gonna look so much better with like a little bit more concealer, a little bit more foundation, like a little bit more mascara. But because by nature, like, I care a lot more about skincare, and I'm a very lazy person. I'm not a morning person. Like, I'm never going to look...
You're not going to have, like, a fully beat face going to work at 9.
Totally, going to work at 9.
Right.
And, like, I am so... Like, whenever I see girls at work who are, like, they have their, like, double braided, like, double French braid, like, pigtails... Yeah.
Today's episode of Naked Beauty is made possible with support from my friends at Macy's, and before my summer travel hits, I need to get a new carry-on. My old one just is not doing the trick anymore, and thankfully Macy's has the lowest prices of the season sale. It's here. You can shop online at Macy's.com or in-store April 9th to the 14th. These are the lowest prices you are going to find all year long. So head on over to Macy's.com for 40 to 60% off. Up to 75% off for home and luggage. This is really incredible prices. All right, let's get back into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz. We should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that. We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOC.
Can you tell us what AWOC means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mal.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOC.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And they're like flawless skin. I'm like, wow, props. But I just can't do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
The first trend that I'll pick that needs to die. And I think that this is a new thing that now that it's getting to become summer and it's warm.
Yeah.
It's May now. the ultra matte dark lip. It needs to be lied to rest, like with the lip liner and then like just that matte, like, and then a lot of girls are doing like this so nude bad. Matte lip, and they actually look like corpse, like you actually look dead.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I think, and maybe I'm ahead of my time, or maybe I'm like way too in the past, but I think there's something really fresh about like a glossy, like a sheer gloss, right? Like I think that can come back.
A sheer gloss with a lip gloss or a lip balm? Like using a...
I think there's something nice about a shine from like a lip gloss.
Okay.
You know, if it's not too like sticky. Like, you don't want the kind of lip gloss where like when the wind blows, like sticks to your hair, like the juicy tubes we use in
seventh
grade.
Yeah, I feel
grade.
Like you've always been a lip gloss person more than I have. Like you can really pull it off. Like, what's your lip gloss that you've been using these days?
I use a Chanel lip gloss.
Okay, the clear Chanel?
It's, like, slightly pink.
Okay.
Slightly pink.
I feel like Chanel also has a really good clear lip gloss. That's not super sticky. But, like, the juicy tubes of like,
and, like, the
like
MAC, what was that MAC one called?
Lip glass.
Lip glass. We would, like, smear that all over our mouth.
Oh,
awful.
My God, what you just said has...
Do they still sell those?
I think they do.
That's horrific.
I actually don't know if it's called lip glass, but I know they have like lip mix or something.
I think it's called lip glass. It's horrendous.
Oh my God.
So yeah, the ultra matte, dark, especially those dark, like those vampire shades. Like, I need it to go. And
okay.
I blame Kylie Jenner. I think that she is really influencing beauty in an undue way. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I personally love a matte lip, but I do not like a matte dark lip, especially in the summer.
Right.
And I think...
Keep it fresh.
I love a matte red lip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is...
It's the only way to
really chic.
It's the only way to wear a red lip, by the way.
It's the only way to
wear...
You
can't do a glossy
red lip.
It's like,
unless
it's
like an editorial for like an S&M shoot.
Oh, that's one of my other trends that needs to die.
Yeah. Oh,
so, okay,
tell me.
I can get to my number two.
Yeah.
My number two trend that needs to die is the editorial wet hair look. Because in editorial, yes, like all of this like gel slicking down your, like this wet hair look is beautiful in editorial.
Yes.
But I see some of these, sorry, mostly white girls. No offense. Doing this like wet hair look. And it's like, you look a hot mess. It doesn't work outside of the pages of W and Vogue. It just doesn't.
But have you seen girls outside of...
Yeah.
Really? I personally have not.
You're not going to places where people are trying too hard.
Okay.
Go to these places where... I mean,
like
we live in meat packing, so...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I see it. It's like, they'll have on like their velvet choker.
Oh my God.
Like a really slicked back, like wet look
hairstyle. Do you really see that? Okay, I have not seen it
no.
in person.
It's awful.
Okay.
It's bad.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this nail art. I can handle nail art.
I know. It's really...
I find it so cheesy.
It's really tacky.
Like,
number three, a full strip of eyelashes. And here's where you see it, which I think is really interesting.
Oof.
It's like the woman working at Duane Reade. You know, like it's not like you're at a gala. Like it's the everyday wearing of false eyelashes that I really think just... It's like, mascara's enough. And I actually read Beyonce's makeup artist, I remember, like, 2 years ago did this interview where, like, she and Beyonce, like, decided together that, like, B wasn't going to wear false lashes anymore on the red carpet.
I love it.
And I was like, that's so modern. Because even, like, I was looking at the red carpet
photos
from Cannes, and, like, all of them, the Carlys, all the, like, top girls, they're all wearing these, like...
They are?
Really dramatic, like, Shui Mora lash. I mean, because it look. I mean, you've worn... False lashes.
Yeah,
I mean, you look amazing.
You look
like,
amazing.
It's
but for
there's,
me,
there's no
yeah.
like you put them on and you're like, why don't I wear these every day?
No,
like,
exactly.
Look at how pretty
I am. And that's
why
I don't wear them every day because
right.
like, I look so much better. And now I have to wear these every day.
Well, some women do the permanent.
Yeah,
like not permanent, but
or the lash extensions.
Yeah, which I've done.
Yeah, I've done the lash extensions. Before.
And it's like fabulous for the first week, and then you're kind of like,
yeah,
and
then
falling out. This is a big waste of money.
They're falling out and they're getting in your eyes.
Yeah.
People are like, do you have eyelash extensions? But not in a way that's like, you look so good, but in a way that's like, wait, they're like starting to like fall out. I can tell now.
Is that what people were hinting at when they asked me?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. When I think they're great for like, maybe, I don't know, maybe good false lashes are good for like a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like a, not even a week, like a great event, a major event.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, I feel like a fraud. That's what I feel like. I feel like a fraud. I'm like, you're not as pretty as you are. Just let's get real. You're not that attractive. Take them out and be your real, lesser attractive self. Face
I
the reality.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, so let's move on to the good. What are the three products that you're absolutely obsessed with? Like, they can be things you've tried recently, or they could be things you've used for years and you can't live without.
Okay. It's not new, but I'm obsessed with having, like, become this, like, natural beauty product, like, fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
I really love 100% Pure beauty products, and when I first heard about them, I was like, 100% Pure, that sounds cheesy, and I, like, looked at their site, and I was like, this is cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this liquid liner that they came out with that they sent over, and it's pretty much the most amazing natural liquid liner. It's like 100% fruit pigments, and it's 100% fruit pigments, and it's got no added fragrance, no added like parabens or anything, and it will last you through the day. And it's the only thing that I use on my eyes in the morning when I'm like,
that's amazing.
Out the door, and I have no time to do anything else.
What's number two?
Number two is.
I can be my number one.
Okay, what's your number one?
St. Ives Apricot Scrub. Okay, so what does your app say about the St. Ives Apricot Scrub?
Okay, so the app says that, let's see, it is a 9 out of 10 on a scale of...
So 10 is like
10,
deadly toxic.
Yeah, 10 being the most toxic.
Oh, wonderful.
Great. It's,
I've been using
impacts.
This for years.
Oh my God. Okay, health impacts. Hormone disruptor and allergy. And that's because it contains fragrance.
Okay. I want a do-over. That's not my top product.
Okay.
Coconut oil? Is that safe? I love coconut oil.
Coconut oil, yeah.
I
want
to be cool and with it and in the natural beauty space. So I'm taking St. Ives Apricot Scrub.
That's out.
It's for the ignorant that don't know better. Okay. Coconut oil. That's my first one.
That's your first one.
Tell me your two others.
My two others are... I'm so lame, but I love hand creams.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe it's because I have like exposed myself to hand creams at a young age and therefore become like
addicted to them.
They're very addictive.
I have them at my desk, by my bed.
Them everywhere.
Yeah.
No. I have hand creams like in the living room, like by my bed.
Essential.
By the TV. Yeah. I need them everywhere because the feeling, there's nothing worse than like the feeling
of dry
hands.
You can. Yeah.
The dry hands, like.
When I'm traveling, it's like I'm so conscious of it.
I'm so conscious. Yeah. Same. Like if I don't travel with hand cream, then I might as well just jump.
So what hand cream do you like?
The hand cream that I love is the seaweed hand cream from Whole Foods. It's, the brand is literally called Seaweed, and it's made out of like seaweed extract and stuff, but it's scented with lavender.
Oh, nice.
I got the unscented one and it literally smells like sushi, so it's not good. So don't get the unscented
one. Scented, okay.
Get the scented one and it smells like lavender and it's amazing.
Okay.
And it's the only natural hand cream that I've found that doesn't smell or that doesn't dry out your hands like after like one application.
Okay.
Because some natural hand creams will like, you'll apply them and then you're like, your hands are dry.
Yeah, afterwards. I hate that. I'm not even going to say, like, my other one because I have to check it on the app first and, like, make sure I don't embarrass myself. So you tell me your third one.
No, it's fine.
It's probably toxic.
Not.
I can't.
This is so sad.
It's fine. I need to reevaluate my life. You tell me your third and final.
No, it's only because of Think Dirty that I've become
enlightened. I'm gonna
my third... So I'm such a fan of RMS beauty products.
Mm-hmm. That's really expensive, though, right?
It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
What do you buy from them?
I buy their lip to cheek, which is like a blush, and
and it's natural. It's like, what does it rate on this
natural,
scale?
It's
yours?
Like probably a 2
oh,
or
nice.
A 3 or something.
I need to get into
you
that
need to get
that
app.
Below 5 like.
Mm-hmm.
This has been it's so educational.
I'm so glad.
I don't think women know this.
I don't think they do. And I felt like such a proselytizer at first, but then...
No,
because
but you
I remember,
need to.
Like, you need to become educated. And I remember, like, hearing about women being like, well, that's toxic. And I was like, well, I'm never going to care about that. Or be like
right.
one of those women who cares. But
right.
now it's so liberating because I'm just like, these are my go-to products and I don't
right.
have to think about it anymore.
Right.
Just, like,
and you know they're
them
safe.
And I know they're safe and I know they're, like, effective too. And so my favorite one is RMS. So do you wait? So you think that people, that women just don't know?
No, I don't think they know. I mean, yeah, you hear it kind of in the background, like, oh, it's toxic.
It's toxic.
And it feels like this thing that's, like, not for you because you're like, I'm someone
it's
that likes.
It's not
like,
for you.
I'm someone that likes beauty, so I need all these fancy brands. I need the
yes.
Chanel eyeliner, and I need the NARS blush, and I need the MAC lipstick. And all of those natural products are, like, for, like, other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's exactly how I felt before. I think that people, that women just don't know.
No, I don't think they know. I mean, yeah, you hear it kind of in the background, like, oh, it's toxic.
It's toxic.
And it feels like this thing that's, like, not for you because you're like, I'm someone
it's
that likes.
It's not for you.
I'm someone that likes beauty, so I need all these fancy brands. I need the
yes.
Chanel eyeliner, and I need the NARS blush, and I need the MAC lipstick. And all of those natural products are, like, for, like, other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's exactly how I felt before I got into this stuff, and now I couldn't imagine, like,
no, it's, I feel like I'm at this stage now where, like, I feel like I'm with those people that eat Kashi Go Lean and think it's healthy.
Right.
Like, that eat, like, the lean cuisines and think it's healthy. Like,
same.
That's my makeup diet now. Like, it's, like, sort of aware, but, like, in a really, like,
yeah,
basic level. Like, I need to align how I treat my my diet
mm-hmm.
to my skincare.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I feel the same way, but with food. Like, I will smear, like, shea butter from,
mm-hmm.
like, Nigeria all over my legs.
Yeah.
And, like, pat myself on the back and
yeah.
then go and eat a slice of pizza.
Yeah,
and,
well, we need to eat pizza
so
sometimes.
I guess, I mean, I don't know.
Like, do I want to live the rest of my life not eating pizza because it's, like, kind of bad for you? No.
Okay.
Right?
Sure, but I mean, I think I want to, like, scale back.
Yeah.
Like, I think
absolutely.
It's because it's, like, that's my diet. That's, like, all I eat, which is bad. And
I
that's,
find it
I
very
it's
hard
like,
to believe, Carolyn,
really,
that all
okay,
you
okay,
eat
okay,
is pizza.
Fair,
like,
fair,
let's
fair.
Get real.
Like, I'll, okay, so
don't be
I
one
have,
of these, like, models who's like, I don't
no, I just eat pizza.
I just, oh, my God, I have the worst diet ever.
Okay,
all I
you,
do is eat burgers
I'll
and
tell
pizza.
You what I eat at home. I eat Amy's frozen dinners that I eat in the microwave.
That's bad.
Is that bad?
You need to cook for yourself. Real food. Yes. Frozen dinners? Are you like a 50s housewife?
Wait, I thought you were laughing because you were like, Caroline, you're so healthy.
No,
like,
that's
talking?
Not healthy. You should,
oh
no,
God,
you should really, because by the time you like unfreeze it, you could have made yourself a salad or grilled yourself some chicken or, I also
that's
realized that I didn't realize how many people don't cook. So like, I come home after work and I cook dinner. It's just,
yeah.
that's routine. I'm like,
okay.
I cook. But a lot of people
I
don't cook, and it's not part of their routine.
So Steph and I, we both started doing this like CSA thing where we get vegetables sent to the...
What's CSA?
I don't know what
okay.
it stands for, but it's like...
Like a food co-op?
It's a food co-op thing
like
where
trendy
he like...
Brooklyn.
Some trendy Brooklyn thing where he picks up vegetables every Wednesday
oh,
and
God.
Like carts
okay.
them home and like throws
I,
zucchinis
oh.
on the grill and he's like, bam, kale.
Yeah. Okay. But like I make fun of it, but I kind of love it, yeah.
No, it's cool. So I'll do like half kale, half pizza.
Yeah, that's...
So I guess...
So I am the same way. So you
yeah.
know, Umut makes pizza every Sunday, but now what I started to do is say, okay, if I'm going to eat pizza, I have to have something like... alive and green on the side.
That's how I feel.
It's about balance.
Yeah, it's about balance. And like before I moved in with Steph, like I was very unhealthy. Like I was probably just ordering pad thai every night and eating pad thai.
Really?
Just disgusting.
But you're so thin.
No, I'm not, but thank you. Thank you so much. But like before I started doing that, I was just ordering pad thai and then the other night I ordered pad thai and I like felt so sick.
Oh, yeah.
After eating it, because after you eat so healthily, and then you order pad thai and eat it, you're like, oh my God, that's
yeah.
awful.
Look, I've recently cut back on carbs significantly.
Yeah.
And the other day, I had like a sandwich, and
yeah.
like, it was just, I was like, oh, like all of this
it's
bread, like
so
it's
gross.
Disgusting.
And it's weird because either like we're like either I'm getting older or I like just sound like a grandmother, but yeah. I'm like, oh, the gluten, I can't do it anymore. But once you have such a healthy diet of just like kale for lunch,
but like, also things that are alive.
Things right. that are alive, like
plant-based, a plant-based diet really yeah. does make you feel amazing. Okay, so I'm gonna take it way back.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Back to the Spence School. I don't know, we were like in eighth grade yes. or something. No, I can't remember. We were downstairs in the basement in the big gym, and it was Bias Awareness Day, and we had to do this exercise where... Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I have no idea.
So they would ask these questions, and yeah. then if you identified, if you felt the answer was yes, you would, like, walk into the middle of the circle, right? So it was about this whole thing about how we all hold biases about each other.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, so it was framed in a way that, like, if your answer is yes, then step into the middle of the circle.
Okay.
And the question was, I think that I'm beautiful and that my body is perfect, and someone who shall remain unnamed, who actually is perfect, stepped into the middle of the circle, and she was the only person who stepped in. Do you know, I'll map it to you.
Oh my god, did she really do that?
And well, okay, so everyone's reaction, including yours afterwards, was like, ugh, like how obnoxious. And I was kind of like, I think that's really cool that she stepped in. Everyone was like hating hard, like, how dare she?
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. You don't remember that?
I genuinely don't remember that.
Okay, so...
What grade? Were we in, like, 8th grade or something?
Yeah, she was probably, like, in 11th grade at the time.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I think that there's something really interesting
yeah.
about... You're, as a woman, you're expected to be confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing... there's nothing strong about not fun, right? We are expected to be these strong, powerful women that have a sense of themselves, but when does that cross over into vanity?
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
nothing that people hate more than a mm-hmm. woman who is vain. And I think a lot of the like beauty vloggers and those people that their Instagram accounts are just like selfies after selfies of themselves
yeah.
looking beautiful.
Yeah.
People really hate them
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of like, how dare you think you're so... I mean, Kylie is a perfect example. I look at Kylie Jenner's Snapchat. I can't deny the fact that she's beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
But I don't like her because I think that she's really vain. And
yeah.
she knows she's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that there's like this really complicated... place that women are put into where you are supposed to be confident and you're not
mm-hmm.
supposed to belittle yourself, but you also aren't supposed to publicly say, I am beautiful and I love
it. I didn't remember the center of the room, but what I do remember actually is you saying that you think that, I think it was like maybe around the same time or eighth or ninth grade, and you're like, I look great. I'm really confident in myself.
That sounds like about right, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I think I look great. I'm really happy with my body. And I was, like, so shocked that you said that. And I was like, it just, like, that whole kind of reality, like, didn't exist for me. Like, I was like, how could you think that about yourself? Like, and maybe it's because, like, you weren't at our high school for longer than I was, because
right.
like that whole like perception of like loving your body
mm-hmm,
and being
mm-hmm.
comfortable in your skin
mm-hmm.
was so foreign to me. But I was like, it was like learning a new, it was almost like learning a word, the meaning of a word in a different language
mm-hmm.
that didn't exist
mm-hmm,
in your
mm-hmm.
language. And I was like, I wasn't
yeah.
even like,
so I
put off by it. I was just kind of
like
what does
what?
That mean?
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
just like, oh my
yeah.
god.
And I think, so I remember actually, now that we're talking about it, it's that she who shall remain unnamed stepped
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And I remember having this self-awareness of, I feel like my answer to this is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel happy with the way that I look in my body, mm-hmm. but I'm also self-aware enough to know not to step into this circle because that's going to open me to judgment. And then I think you and I were talking about it afterwards, and I was like, I think that my body is great.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. And you're just kind of like, what?
To this day, I'm like, what?
Isn't that so sick that, like, we're all running around with, like, we're 5 pounds from being perfect? I mean, it really is, like, a sickness that I think has been, like, instilled in us from all of these, it's just the whole industry of, like, what it means to be beautiful. It's like, you're almost there, just keep
going. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
But you're almost there.
You're almost there. Just do this.
You'll always be almost there.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, if you just instead figure, I mean, that's a very real thing.
It's a real thing, and I guess today I'll just, like, throw a dress on over, like, throw a dress on not being, but I think, like, it's a real accomplishment, though, because I feel like when we were in high school, or at least for me when I was in high school, I had a lot of insecurities.
I mean, we went to an all-girls school
where
we had to wear mini skirts, and it was very, like...
Like, think about that, actually, like, in retrospect, like, our skirts were very short.
Oh, of course. It was, like, thigh gap. Exhibition on display
like,
every
that
day.
That is so fucked up. Like, our skirts were shorter than skirts that I, like...
I wouldn't wear a skirt that length out to dinner.
Out to dinner.
Yeah.
And not just because I'm, like, at an age now where it's no longer maybe cute or acceptable
okay.
to wear.
How old are you? 27?
27.
Oh, my God. Like...
Too old. But I just find myself, like, gravitating towards, like, longer...
Of course. I mean, it's, like, who's wearing mini skirts
anymore?
Who's
wearing mini skirts? But maybe, like, next year it'll be,
like
2 years. Skirts.
Wait, do you know, big prediction?
What is it?
The denim mini skirts that we used to wear.
Yeah,
we're going to
come
Not
coming
this
back.
Summer. Everyone's still, like, doing the culotte thing. The pendulum's going to swing the other way.
I believe you.
The denim mini skirts of yore.
Wait, do you wear culottes?
I wear, like, wide-leg pants, but they're not, they're always fitted.
Cool.
And, like, high waist. So they'll emphasize the waist.
Do they ever go up to your shin? Like, do they
like
ever fall at your shin?
A cropped flare?
Yeah, cropped
I love a cropped flare, but only if they're tight on the thighs.
Okay.
I can't do a cropped flare that's also loose.
Thank you.
It's like
Thank
a fisherman,
you.
Like a...
I find that to be the most offensive thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that I'm, like, proud of myself for not, like,
succumbing to
because, like...
Yeah, it's bad. It's, like, really
anyway, hard. I think being comfortable in my own skin is the best thing ever.
It's a big accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment. Like, as a girl, I would say, like, growing up in New York and going to an all-girls school and, like, spending a lot of, like, mental real estate, like, thinking about, like, what I'm going to eat next, or, like, what my next exercise routine is, or, like, where I'm going to go to, like, burn those calories. Like, it's a huge accomplishment, and I wouldn't say I've become lazy, but I would say that I've just become
you've
more
comfortable. Yeah, and you've prioritized other things.
Yeah.
So, what I love about Low Cheekbones.
Thank you.
Your Instagram account, which is hysterical. So if people are listening, go to Instagram and put in Low Cheekbones. You'll see Caroline's brilliant. I think it's performance art. It's beyond social. It's not like a funny social media account. It's like performance art.
Thank you so much.
And I think that you tell me about it, and then I'll tell you what I love about it.
I started Low Cheekbones because I felt like beauty is a weird combination of, like, taking itself way too seriously when it's literally makeup and you can do whatever you want with lipstick, you can do whatever you want with highlighter, and it does not have to be taken seriously. And then also, like, beauty is very boring, and, like, there has to be an outlet.
Yeah.
There has to be a way to, like, parody this hilarious stuff that is, like, proliferating, like, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
I think we're in a really weird time right now with, like, YouTube vloggers. And it's just, like, this saturated market of, like, how do I get my everyday beauty look? And it's, like...
Yeah. Wait, can we play a clip? I want to...
Hey, guys.
crime, and you're not 100% sure if you're going to get jumped by the cops, you just don't know whether to, like, do it up. So in the interest of time, these are the only two beauty products you need to stay looking fabulous for your mugshot. I absolutely loved this color corrector by YSL. You smear it all over, and it's just amazing at picking up the light. As we know, those fluorescent lights are so unforgiving.
That's my favorite part.
Finally, if you hear the sirens coming, that means they're gaining on you. Time for a dual lip and cheek multitasker. Time is of the essence, as you know, so you just want something to really pick up the light before they catch you. Hey guys,
so good. And if you haven't gone to the account yet and looked at it, she's in an orange hoodie.
Thank you.
And it's like you become all of these different. It's not like you're the same character in every post. It's almost like you become these different characters and you do these beauty tutorials, like the sandstorm tutorial. I died.
Did you die?
I've spent a lot of time. You know, when I was living in London, I would see all those like European club girls and like their overly bronzed faces, and I was like, yes, I know who this is.
Oh my god! Yeah. Okay, please send me other ideas then, because what I want to do with that is like natural disaster like beauty look. I think there's, like, it's strangely, like, zero humor in beauty.
Right,
so
yeah.
So there needs to be a lot more parody in beauty.
Right.
Because there's just, like, infinite stuff to work with. And I think, like, when Man Repeller, like, arrived on the scene, like, she just tapped into this, like, amazing... She just, like, she is so smart and clever and witty and, like, wrote about... fashion in such an amazing way, and I think there's a lot.
She didn't take it so seriously.
She didn't take it so seriously, and yet she has impeccable style. And I think there is a lot to work with in beauty as well.
I think that it takes someone with your level of intelligence, your exposure to the industry, and your sense of humor. It's what you're doing isn't something that other people can do, which is why it's unique and why it's gained a following and why it resonates with people, because it's like that perfect mix of like, you have to almost kind of be an insider to know what to make fun of.
Sure.
And you have to be smart, but you also have to be funny.
Sure.
And you know what I think? I think a lot of women don't, you know what, I don't want to generalize for women. People.
Yeah.
Men and women.
Okay.
It's like why stand-up is the hardest thing in the world to do, because it's very hard to put yourself out there as being like funny and entertaining.
Absolutely. It's why, like, I could never do it. I could never do stand-up. This is
I think you could.
I don't know. I think this is my, like, solution to stand-up, because my dream has always been to do stand-up. But
you're so funny.
Thank you. But to get in front of an audience and have all eyes on you is completely different from being in a room alone with your phone, staring into your phone and, like, making a joke.
Right.
And this is almost, in some ways, like, my solution to stand-up, because I have, like, I'm always in awe of you, and you're, like, you have zero, like, performance anxiety, and I just, like, cannot cope. So I just, like, run away and just hide in a closet and lock the door and do a funny
video. It's to our benefit, and it's making the internet... funnier.
I'm so glad.
And I mean, what I think is really, having worked in social media before, what I think is really interesting about your account is you have a really high engagement rate, right? So like the number of comments that you get in relationship to your number of followers, like
that's important.
The people that are following you, it's not like, what's the name of that Italian girl that's, they send all over the world and she's like really skinny.
Chiara Ferragni.
Yeah. She's got like a million followers. It's like people are just kind of like. But it's not like people aren't connected. Well, let me not speak for everyone, but she doesn't have as high of an engagement rate as you do.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like there are people that are really big and popular and lots of people follow them, but they're not really doing anything meaningful. And obviously your whole approach is about it's humor and it's fun, but it kind of is important in a way, because you're like debunking beauty as this like exclusive club where it's all about being pretty.
Yeah. Especially like getting a quote from a makeup artist on like how to achieve like highlighted cheekbones. It's mm-hmm. like, first of all, this makeup artist does not remember how he highlighted this model's cheekbones for the Zac Posen
fall winter
show of 2014. And second of all, like, you can probably do it at home without his directions, and maybe even better without his directions.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, totally. I think it's awesome. Everyone should go check it out. A final word before we close out for the end of the night. What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is taking a shower,
mm-hmm.
makeup free,
mm-hmm.
getting into your bed,
mm-hmm.
and before getting into bed, looking in the mirror with your disgusting, wet, straggly hair and your gross t-shirt.
And you still feel beautiful just as you are. Those were Caroline's words. I'm so sorry. I was trying to record an outro and I edited her last few seconds of wisdom. Caroline, I'm sorry. That's what I get for trying to be fancy. But thank you so much for being open, for being honest, and for sharing your experience with me on my first episode. And thank you to everyone who listened. I will be back the week after next with a new episode. Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.